Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. In mid-February, thanks to the weather alternating between abnormally warm and abnormally cold, sometimes within a 24-hour period, my driveway and the parking area at the top of it turned into a solid sheet of ice, in some places as much as 2 inches thick. I used the ice melt that I had, and it wasn't enough, so I had to resort to a pickaxe and a sledgehammer to try to break my way through. But I had two goals that kept me going. One was I had to get down the driveway to get something else to melt the ice more efficiently. And the second was I was expecting a visit from my son and his wife and my granddaughter. And so in all my spare time that week, I chipped away at things. And eventually, I got to the point where the driveway was passable. And I cleared an area of the driveway where anyone could park a vehicle next to mine and walk safely to the house. But if you've ever tried to clear ice in this manner, you know that there are some patches of it that will just hang on for whatever reason. And they're usually little tiny patches, and it's just not even worth the effort to keep chipping away at them, because there's plenty of room to go around them. When my son and his wife and my granddaughter appeared, I didn't want to let the dogs out, because my dogs love my granddaughter. They absolutely adore her, and the feeling is mutual. And they're going to jump on her because she loves it when they jump on her. And so that's the way it is, and we all accept it. Instead, I watched them get out of the car and walk toward the house. And doggone, if I didn't watch my almost 5-year-old granddaughter step on one of those little tiny islands of ice surrounded by all of that secure footing, slip, and go down on her bum. Now the good news is that she's almost 5, and so the hysterics that would have accompanied such a fall when she was younger didn't occur. She was shocked, and she looked up at her parents. You could tell she was thinking about it. Can I get away with the drama queen bit or not? No, wait, I hear the dogs. I want to see the dogs. Forget it. She jumped up. Her mom brushed her off, and up she came. But that curiosity, that fascination with the novel, with that little tiny chunk of ice in the middle of that great big expanse of perfectly walkable surface, got me thinking. And it got me thinking about a study I saw recently about the differences in behavior between mice who have been raised in a sterile environment and those raised with a normal complement of bacteria. And what the research indicated was that those animals who were raised in a germ-free environment were more curious, they moved around more easily, and they were less anxious than those who had their bacteria. Now, the way we in our society have been programmed, it would be so easy to think, oh my God, bacteria cause anxiety. If we could just narrow this down, by golly, we could find a way to get rid of those bacteria. Sort of like the old myth that Helicobacter causes gastric ulcers, when in fact, what, 50% of the population of humans have Helicobacter, they don't have any trouble at all. But you could see how some people could read this study and think that, even though the researcher said, we don't know what it means. But I got to thinking about that. I got to thinking about that in terms of not only looking at the body as an ecosystem, but also in terms of the reality that predator-prey pairs drive evolution, and that this also includes parasites. Now, if I think about parasites are a lot bigger than bacteria. And I'm thinking parasitic worms, and I'm thinking flukes. And I'm thinking of some of these use animals as an intermediate host. And one of the ways they get to their next host is to change the behavior of the intermediate host. And if you look at these changes in behavior, the most common changes are for these animals to do silly things. They're out and about more and at the wrong time instead of keeping a low profile. And when I put that together with these mice, I'm thinking, well, you know, that could be the other side of it. My granddaughter is attracted to the novel, but she's learning. Because fortunately, she doesn't live in a perfect, a behaviorally germ-free environment. She's also starting to learn caution, and it's a good thing. Because it's one thing to slip on a little piece of ice. It's quite another to do something really, really stupid, like step in front of a truck. So I'm glad my granddaughter doesn't live in a germ-free environment. I hope that science doesn't find a way to protect her from everything, to take away all of her natural defenses, all of the bacteria, the viruses, even the things that we consider yucky parasites. I hope that nobody ever figures out a way to create such a little bubble for her. I want more for her than that. I want a better life for her than that. Yes, I want her to be able to explore. I want her to be able to zero in on those little hunks of ice and maybe slip and fall and hit her bum and learn, whoa, that was a dumb thing to do, so that the next time she won't be so anxious to do that. And above all, if she's legitimately afraid of something, if she's legitimately stressed or wound up about something, I want to help her deal with it. Just like I want to help animals deal with that. I don't want to just eliminate the signs because it makes it more convenient for me. I want to deal with the cause. I think just about every religion has a truth that parallels Christianity's make friends with your enemies. There are so many things in our world, microorganisms, insects, parasites, that we label wrong, 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 wrong. And they're not wrong at all. They're part of us. They're part of our natural world. We're all in this together. And the sooner we learn that, the happier and the healthier we're going to be.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.